when it's way too late that I perhaps should have done a handout for all of you, a sheet giving the basic structure of the shiur. So as a second best, I brought these little notepads because I think it's very kedai. I brought a few spare pens if anybody wants, because there's a few things that are worth writing down. They might not be that familiar. And so if anybody wants, please help yourselves, because it's difficult always to memorize a full shiur. The shiur is definitely structured, and it's about the structure of davening. And as I say, I think it would be good thinking to make a few notes, and I would perhaps try, if I may, to give you a bit of a guide as to what are the points that we should write down. It's going to become self-evident as we continue. Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we will start. What I was asked to do was tefillah. I said, can we be a bit more specific? So Rabbi Falk said to me, the three daily tefillahs. So what I thought would be interesting and probably new to most people is the structure of a shacharis, and then at the end of the shiur, take a quick look at mincha and how that's put together, and also equally important, the ma'ariv. But the bulk of the shiur is going to be about shacharis, and to understand the components, basically there are four. And the way it works, and we're very largely using the Ari HaKodesh as our basis, not some off-the-beaten-track source, or not some yesterday source, but a classic source of the highest order. And we will discover that shacharis particularly is very much like a pyramid. When you go up and up and up, you reach a peak, and then you come down. We hope that when you're coming down, you're loaded with bracha, and we're going up to get as close as we really can to Hashem Yisborach and apply for that bracha. But there's a seder, there's a system with which we do it. I have to give you a warning, like they have an old packet of cigarettes, you know, as a health warning. And the warning this time is your davening might take you a bit longer. If you wish to leave at this point, the doors are all open. But if we understand a bit more about tefillah after learning the sugya in tefillah sashachar, and after having a slightly deeper insight, this is definitely a real risk, but at the same time a pleasure and a nachas. Now I think you'll all know the Gemara, Lo'olam yisadeh odom shvuchoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'acha kach yispalo. That the basic principle of first starting off with shvach, and then only afterwards coming to Bakosha, that is standard and is very well known. What is the reason for it? It's not that Hashem Yisborach, of course, needs to hear our praise. He's not a human being in that we have to sort of prepare him and get him in the mood. It is rather a question of preparing ourselves, as some of the Sforim write, we should become from bilti zoiche, from being not worthy of the many things we want to need and apply for, and become a zoiche, that we should be a bit more worthy. And by praising Hashem Yisborach, we reach that level. There's another very important component, Rabbeisai, which will occur again in this shi, and that is, let's be honest, they are ketrugim. None of us can pretend to be perfect. They're ketrugim, therefore, on us as individuals, and therefore on our tefillahs. And one of the ways the Chachomim advised us to do away with the ketrug, to silence the ketrug, is to praise Hashem Yisborach, because on shvach there cannot possibly be any ketrug. So wherever we are, whatever our track record might be, when we praise Hashem Yisborach, then for sure the ketrug is silenced. Then when we progress to come with our bakoshes, then we're on a much better footing. So essentially what happens is this. Ani Hashem lo ishanisi. Hashem Yisborach does not change, but we change. And when we daven, we actually elevate our souls. So for this, I have the first quote for you, Rabbi Isai, is actually a Yad HaMelech. Who was Yad HaMelech? A grandson of Noida Behuda. And he wrote on the Rambam, and he has a very meaningful piece here. I just quote you part of it, right? The beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. You may wish to make a brief note of this, but again, what I feel is most important to make notes on, we haven't got to that quite yet. He says, why is Tefillah Loshen Lehispalel? We are doing something to ourselves. It reflects, it's reflexive, because he says, we should, number one, be nispoil ourselves, b'shas tefillah, through our kavona, and largely, yes, through the shvachim, namely Psukah de Zimra, and a large degree, Birchas Kriya Shema as well. And therefore, he says, that unless it does inspire us to some degree, ein olav shem tefillah klal, it becomes dry and flat, like pitputei devorim, just talking, just chatting. Leficha kimsh de beshum oifen lo yitzuye techunas tei vezurak bispalas, bargoches anefesh, the word tefillah really is only appropriate when there is this feeling and this elevation and this hisrakshus, Hashem is spoiled de kavonas atfilah. Tefillah is doing something to us, it's inspiring us. Therefore, this is the correct grammatical form, the binyan nifal, and therefore it's lehispalel. And that's what the shvach is largely going to do. So we have 2 points here. One is that the shvach improves us. We have a posuk, lehishtabeyach b'shilosecho. We become better through praising Hashem Yisborach. Tomorrow Shabbos Kodesh, our total tefillah is that. But no bakoshes, it's much longer, and it's all shvach actually. Slonim Rebbe writes in his sefer, it's all a shira l'Hashem. Even if we don't sing every piece of it, but in effect it's a shira. And the other very important piece is the need to do away with any ketrugim. Now, in Derech Mitzvah Secha from the Tzemach Tzedek, we do have an explanation which I think I may have used here before, and that is, he says on Hallel, although I mentioned to you earlier, Rabbi Said, that we don't need to, Chas V'Sholem, use flattery here, which is not appropriate even with a person, and for sure not with Hashem Yisborach, he explains it in a more subtle way. Hashem Yisborach has all the midas chanun v'rachul merech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes v'chulu. All those midas are there. But they need to be activated. And they are activated by us talking about them. We're touching the nerve center when we say the shvachim in Pesukei Dezimra, and therefore that is the way we cause the chesed to flow from the source all the way down to us. So he says there could be a situation, not chanifa, where you really need a toiva chesed from somebody, and you say to him, listen, I know Yankele, you'd like to do a mitzvah, tomorrow we have a chosn and kala, a yosem and a yosoyma, they haven't got a cent to their name, and I know that you have the ability, and I know you like to do it, it's a tremendous achus, and that way we get him into the mood, and he hopefully will open his hand, open his heart. So that parallel, uses the Tzemach Tzedek in the beginning of his drush on Hallel, that is what the Hallel and the Shvachim are for. So not that Chanifa Chas V'Sholem would have any place over here, but rather it's a question of touching the source of Brocha, the Midas HaTova, the generosity, the goodness of Hashem Yisborach, and how do we do that, and how do we become a little more deserving by saying the Pesukei Dezimra. So that's also a very important piece here. Now, clearly, the tachlis is to reach the Shemoneh Esra, and hopefully we'll have a moment to discuss why it's so important that it's actually belachash, that it's actually silent. You know, sometimes you can hear a person in a loud whisper, but the Zohar Kosh is quite heavy on that, that if somebody else hears it, it won't make its way all the way up. The reason is because we are ever so close. Like a secret you wish to whisper in somebody's ear, then it's very quiet, he can hear you, and you don't want anyone else to hear. Now, in the journey till that point, from Brochus till the Shemoneh Esra, quite some journey, so probably there are other sources that say similar things, but I found in Likutei Torah from the Modcha of Chernobyl, they bring the following. Till the Shemoneh Esra, again, is a hachona, a preparation to reach the inner chamber of the king, of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And he says that in every heichel, as you go along the way, a person is in a sense judged, is he really worthy to get right close to the king? And therefore, the better that we daven the introductory parts of the tefillin, for sure not to skip them, the more chance that we have that when we actually reach the Heichal HaMelech, we'll be zoicha to the chain that we need in order to get the bruchas that we need. So these are all introductory ideas, concepts, which will surely help us to appreciate the real meaning of our Shia today. What is the real meaning of our Shia? As said, there are 4 levels. The 4 levels, if you've learned Nefesh HaChaim, that may be more likely in this Tzibur than Tanya, but both Sforim in a sense are parallel. And all the Sforim who wish to delve a little bit deep into the Pnimius, then you'll discover there's Asiya, Yetzira, Bria and Atzilus, these four worlds. There are countless worlds, but these four are the main ones. And those who are a bit at home at Sifrei Kodesh, probably very familiar. And just to give it to you in as simple terms as we can, Olam HaSiyah is exactly where we are, but it goes way beyond what the eye can see. Yetzirah is known as the Olam of the Malochim. Bria is known as the Olam HaKisei, Kisei HaKovod, and Atzilus Miloshen Eitzel, as close as one can possibly get. For this, I'll add you a nice piece from the Oyev Yisrael Abderov in Parshas Nitzovim, where he says, why is it called Amido? Don't we very much encourage people to always be a hoilach, from a satiloch mahalchim beinu oimdim ho'eila? The person should not be static, we should be always moving. The malach is static, he has his shlichas, he does his bit, he has no milchem esayetze, and then that's it. We, hopefully, as we go through the journey of life, we do not stand still. We should be moving and progressing. He says, yes, that is absolutely correct. However, when we daven, then there's one point at which we really cannot go further. That's the Amido. Tonight, it would be far more accurate to call what people like to call the Shemoneh Esrei, which is never really the Shemoneh Esrei 19, but never mind. But today, tonight is 7. Throughout Shabbos, of course, I needn't tell you. So that is correctly defined as the Amido, but not only because we're standing rather than sitting, but because we reach a point, Eitzel, Atzilus, you cannot go closer, you cannot go higher, and once again, at that level, you whisper and another person should not hear it. So what we're going to look at quickly is, Zohar Kodesh says, Be'uvda u'demilula isar milsa. What does that mean? There are four things that we need to do in the morning, and there are four components in the tefillah, actually four on the way up and four on the way down. You may have seen, I didn't bring today with me, but some of the sidurim, typically if anybody's seen the Siddur Mosuk Midvash, which is collections from the writings of Rabbi Daniel Frisch of Yerushalayim Zatzal, who wrote the famous Mosuk Midvash on the entire Zohar Kodesh. You'll see on the top of the page, Tfilas HaAsiyah, Tfilas HaYetzirah, Tfilas HaBriyah, Tfilas HaAtzilus. Any siddur that has a bit of a leaning towards Pnimis HaTorah, it's very likely they'll put that on the top of the page, and they will tell you each time which part, which segment of the tefillah we're now at. But it goes in Be'uvda, in Ma'asim, which we all do every day, as well as in the Diburim and the Ma'asim, which we need to do, pave the way. What are the Ma'asim that we have to do? So, we have to wash our hands. We wash Netilas Yadayim Shachris, first Tachona to Tefillah. It's actually four Tefillah that we do that. We need to dispose of the Ruach Ra. And so that is getting rid of, on the Chitzonius of the body, any impurities, to be matar ourselves for the tefillah which will follow. As you know, some people even go further, tefillah b'mikveh. Then comes yifne. Yifne is from the pnimius. We have to make sure that our body is clean. We're addressing the melech malchi amlochim. We've got to be in a state of tahara as far as possible, mibachutz and mibifnim. So first we take care of the chitzonius, and then we take care of the pnimius. So then we have talis, we have tzitzis, and then we have tefillin, shol yad and tefillin shol rosh. So all these activities are essentially preparing the way, this is all from the Arizal, that we should get rid of all the negativity, all the kitrugim, all the force of evil. I mean, Rabbi Yisrael, you all are aware of current events. You see in the world there are clearly two forces all the time, not only in the person, in the Bria Bichlal, the forces of Toiv and the forces of Ra, which unfortunately now, B'ikvasa de Mashiach, they get very busy. And one of the ways of dealing with them, since we're not military people, Rabbi Yisrael, we do it through Avodas Hashem. So Yitoy we first wash, Yifne then we make sure that the guf ba'ofen pnimi is clean, and then talis and tefillin, shel yad and shel rosh. Then this relates to the four levels, because the first two are both asiyah. In asiyah we have to fear that there's impurities even bifnim. Then we have talis. Talis, you may, if you say the tefillah before putting on the talis, it's to do with makif, and it's to relates then to the next world, to the yitzira level. And then shel yad. Have any of you seen ever maybe a Sephardi yid or somebody who's very much into Kabbalah putting on his tefillin shel yad sitting down? Why do they do that? That has a makor. B'nai Ashkenaz don't do it that way, but others do, the reason is because it relates to Olam HaBriya, which is Olam HaKisseh. I'll tell you now in turn, that relates to the Tfilas Yotze, which ideally should be said seated. Olam HaKisseh, Kisseh HaKovod. And Tfilin Shel Rosh is Atzilus, is the ultimate highest level. Very interesting, I don't know whether in this particular session, probably not, but if you ever did the Sugya in Menuchas about Tfilin, about the Brochas, you'll be very familiar with the Machloikas, if there should be a Broch on the Tfilin Shel Rosh. And so the Machlokes goes down to the Rosh and the Rambam, and to the Mechaber Ramah, and basically you wind up that the Bnei Ashkenaz make two brachas, Bnei Sfat make one. It's so fascinating. You know what the panemius of the Machlokes is? Whether we are able to reach such dizzying heights and do tikkunim up there. That is the Machlokes on a deeper level as to whether we make a bracha on Tfilin Shel Rosh. One way or another, these are the physical preparations, which is pretty natural, the first two for sure that we do every day. And then when we get to Talis and Tfilin, we're also moving through those worlds, even if we're not aware of it. So now let's look at the four Chalukim of Tfilin. This little Sefer which I brought with is called Psoira de Abba. What is it? It's really basically Minhoge or Arizal. The very difficult material is not in here, only the material that is, we could say, Shoveh Lechol Nefesh, which I think any Ben Torah, any person who comes to Shurim like here, will be able to digest very largely. So here he selects, mainly from Shah Kavunas, he selects over here pieces that are, as said, Shoveh Lechol Nefesh, relating to the practical aspect of Avodas Hashem, and particularly Tefillah. So he says, from the beginning of Davening to Boruch She'oma is Olam Huasiyah. And it fits in so nicely because that's the korbonos which relate to action, which relate to ma'asa mitzvahs, which we can't do today, of course, by v'inaseinu rabim, but unishalmo purim sefoseinu. So we say it, in a sense, we learn it, we should say it with kavona, the sforim say, so that it should really be effective, as good as though we did it. And therefore, that is a part I have to mention here, Rabbi, so if you don't mind. A lot of people neglect or skip. A cynic would say that when they're in a hurry, they sacrifice the korbonos. But it's not necessarily a good idea. It's almost like saying, okay, Rabbi, so I want to drive from here to Borough Park, but I'm in a rush, so we'll just leave out Manhattan. You're not going to be able to do that. I'll do it later on, okay? It doesn't work. You know, this is the journey you've got to drive. You've not got a jet. You've got a car, I assume. So therefore, we've got to drive the whole journey. And of course, we're not going to get to our destination unless we do all parts of that journey. Al Kuponim, that is the story over here. Of course, occasionally we might have to do it, but if you look in certain sforim, they'll very much discourage it. And for sure, on a regular basis to skip, we need talis and tefillin, not a skipping rope, in order to daven, Rabbi Isai. So therefore, it's just something to bear in mind. Needless to say, it involves coming a bit earlier for sure and having talis and tefillin on right at the beginning. We're aware of this, and everybody's going to make their choices. Then, interestingly, we pick up our tzitzis, which we said in the action department relates to Olam HaYetzira. Remember, the yitol, the washing, and the making sure we go to the bathroom, and the guf is a guf noki, relates to step one, asiya. Tzitzis is yitzira, and therefore we pick up our tzitzis as we start Baruch She'oma. I'm sure some people have wondered to themselves, what have tzitzis got to do with Baruch She'oma? Maybe Ashrei, maybe Mizmor Shia, why there? And this is the gateway to Psukei Dezimra, whether you're davening Ashkenaz or Sfat, Baruch She'oma is the gateway, Yishtabach is the conclusion. So therefore it does make sense to pick up the tzitzis at that point. So now it's very simple. If Baruch She'oma is the beginning of the second world, Yetzirah, which of course Rabbi says Olam HaMalochim, in the sense that they sing praise to Hashem Yisborach. I know you might wonder a bit because we talk so much about the Malochim in the next segment. But nevertheless, it's still correct, and there are various Malochim on various levels. So Olam HaYetzirah, you'll find in the Sifrei Kodesh, definitely corresponds to Olam HaMalochim, and we do something which in a way is Malach-like, that we sing praise of HaKadosh Baruch, and we discussed that, the Gemara in Brochus, Lo'olim Yisade Odom Shvochoi. And so that is the second segment. Note, Rabbeis, we've all learned Halacha, not that it's a great idea to have a shmooze with somebody during Korbonos, but there's no Halacha about not being mafsik at that point. Now, from Baruch She'oma, the halacha begins, and of course it gets stricter for Birchas Yotze, not to talk about the Shemoneh Esrei itself. Can you see how we're ascending? We're going up that pyramid, we're going up the mountain, the Kedusha increases, we can't skip a segment, and as we go higher and higher, we get closer and closer, it's totally logical that the halacha should become a little bit stricter as we go along the way. So therefore, Birchas Yoytzer, that is going to relate to Olam HaBriya, the next level. That includes Kriya Shema. Of course, there are two peak points in every weekday Shacharis. And one of them is Kriya Shema, which is Minat Torah, and the other Shemoneh Esra, because of its very nature and the closeness it represents and the concept of Atzilus, which actually starts at Tehillos Lekel Elyon. That's why there we need to stand up, although it's not the Shemoneh Esra proper, but because it is already so closely linked. Now, what we haven't mentioned at all, which is so fascinating in this context, Rabbi, is the Kadeshim. Now, I guess you daven in a variety of shuls, and in many shuls, the Baal Tefillah will say only certain ones, and if there's no Chiyuv, no Yosem, no Yotzeit, no Ovol, then a lot of them might be skipped. But there are Sifrei Kodesh, and Arizal is one of them, who feel it's very important that the Kadeshim are said, and it's interesting, they are not so concerned about the Kadesh after Oleinu. They're concerned about the Kadeshim before that, and why? Let me tell you, today's buildings all have elevators. That's exactly what a Kaddish is. You need the elevator to get from one level to the next. And every time we move, either upward or downward, and we change our level, it's a Kaddish, which has that extra, of course, power and Kedusha to it. You may have learned the Tosfos right at the beginning of Brochas, that perhaps we're afraid the Malachim will be Mekana, such an amazing Andrea Shvach that we human beings say. So the Kaddish has the Koyach, tells us the Ariya Kodesh and many others, has the Koyach to lift us from one level to another. Now I'd like to bring you a parallel from the Nefesh HaChaim, that's Reb Chaim Volozhin, has said, a lot of material that you're going to find in Sforim, like of the Tanya, you'll also find parallels in Nefesh HaChaim, which is possibly to this Olam a bit more familiar. So he says, when we daven korbonus til boruch she'oma, we should have in mind the nefoshos da'asiyah. That means like this, there's nefesh, ruach, Neshama, and there's also two more levels, Chayo Yechido. And all these items, which are four, are going to correspond. So Asiya is Nefesh. We have a Nefesh. We would like that Nefesh to have a Tikkun as well. We're not only going to do Tikkunim far away in the geography of metaphysics, we're doing Tikkunim for ourselves. So therefore, largely, what we want to be sure, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, adds a very important point here, which the others wouldn't disagree with at all, Yechaven lichlol gal nafshoy imohem. To have in mind that I also want to be part of this. I'm going to jump onto the elevator and I'm going to therefore listen to Kaddish and respond and Chalila not to talk then. And Lekoshron Beruchoy, and to connect it properly with a sound connection to be ready for the next level when I enter the world of Yetzirah, which is going to be from Boruch She'oma. So I'm reading you from here just as to confirm that all that we said is definitely accepted in all circles. Mi Boruch She'oma tol Berichas Kriya Shema, that means till the end of Yishtabach, Yichlol Gol Kol Nafshin Dasiyah Veruchin Yetzirah. We now have a package of the Nefoshois, which relates to Asiya, with the Ruchois, which relates to Yetzirah. What I suggest, Rabbi, that everybody writes down is simply, what is the first segment and what it relates to. So if you put down, for instance, Korbonus, or anything from the beginning of Tefillah up to Psukei Dezimra, relates to Asiya, and therefore to the Nefesh. And we hope that we do it well enough, that the Nefesh has a tikkun, and as you all have learned over and over, I'm sure, whatever we do impacts the entire Bria. That's how the Beis HaLevi explains us the Mabul, and how the corruption did so much damage, even though the corruption was the human beings, damaged the whole Doimim, Tzemeach, and Chai, and the Medabrim, of course. And Midah Toiva Merubah, when we do the right thing, we're creating tikkunim way beyond what the eye sees, and way beyond, honestly, what the mind can perceive. And so he goes through the system, the Nefesh HaChaim. I'll tell you where it is if anybody wishes to look it up. Shah Beis, Perek Yud Ches, I guess many have it at home. So he tells us here that then we move on. Birchas Krishma, until the Amida is going to be all that goes till then, it's called Bia, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the first three levels, and Naran, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, all that is getting an elevation. On Shabbos, it works in a different system entirely. Basically, on Shabbos tonight, Rabbi Yisai, it all happens by itself. We try to tune in to the great things that are happening up there, but we don't have to generate the changes, because that is the gift of Shabbos. It's all happening in a great way on its own. So this is explained by the Nefesh HaChaim, again, Shabbos, Perek Yud Ches. So Ketores, typically, is very important, often neglected. It would be such a great idea at least to say the parasha of Ketores, as we all know, do we not, from Chumash and Rashi, that Ketores is Batei Otzer HaMageifo. And therefore, again, all the mazikim, all the chitzoinim, all those who wish to threaten us, to challenge us, leider, we're always thinking of our Achenu B'nei Yisrael Be'eretz HaKodesh. So Ketores is one of the classic etzes in order to get them out of the way. And saying the parasha of Ketores, again, Neshalmo Purim Sforzeinu. The best we can do today is to say the parasha and to know what we're saying. And again, because the Sforim say we do need to understand at least the basic meaning, so then by doing that, we can get rid of a lot of the negativity. And this is so important. I'll tell you another reason. You'll find the Sforim explain this. The troublemakers want to jump on the bandwagon and they want to come along with us, and we don't want them. We don't want them on the way up, and we certainly don't want them on the way down. The way up is one thing, because then we're only going to approach Hashem and to ask for the various chasodim that we need. On the way down, which we'll talk about presently, when we're laden with brocha already, it would be highly dangerous to get them to come along, because they'll just snatch it all away. In fact, that's one of the explanations that we have with the Yomim Neroim and with the idea ki it's peneini besukoi. Hashem hides us under the protective shield of the schach, that now that a new shona has started and we've got the bruch and the ashpo of the new shona, we want it for Klal Yisrael, please, and not for anybody else. Fal yis'arev zor besimchaseinu. Okay, so that's basically about the first stage, the korbonos, the importance of saying that, particularly the parashias, but it would include the pitta maktoiris and ezeo mekoimon, and there are various reasons, as you know, these are limudim, which we do daily, much as we do immediately after berchas ha-toira every morning. So the great mala of the ktoiris in the morning, as the psoira d'abe, which I have in my hand, brings, is to make sure that the chitzoinim, the troublemakers, do not come along with us, because they are very, very determined to do that, and we cannot afford to take the risk. What I read you actually before from Nefesh HaChaim is very much taken from, I have it here, in the Psoira d'Abba, quoted from the Arizal, word for word, os ba'os, and it's the same thing. It's not as though this is somebody's Einfall, somebody's brainwave. It is really basic material for those who like to go a bit behind the scenes. Okay, so now Psukah de Zimra. Let's come to a very important point about Psukah de Zimra. Psukah de Zimra has 13 components. Baruch Shom has 13 times Baruch. Yishtabach has 13 Lishoinus of Shvach. There must be a reason for it. So we are told it corresponds to the Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachamim. That's very nice. But what's the connection? But Abbas, I think we begin to see the sense in it now. It makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of things which are Yud Gimel for us. Yud Gimel Brisois, and it's not the only one. So why this one of Yud Gimel Mereshul Rachamim? It's all part of the Tachlis of the Psukei de Zimra. And therefore Baruch Shoma, which we said is the gateway, and then Yishtabach, which is the closing at the other end, their components are exactly 13. Now again, I don't know what all your minhogim are, but we with the Chassidim, we always sing on Friday night, either before or after Kiddush, Azame B'Shvochin, which is from the Ariyah Kodesh. And the Sfadim for sure. Do B'nai Ashkenaz, maybe not necessarily. But one way or another, made by the Arizal, you can guess, is profound in meaning. But there is a Pshat Perish as well, called Minchas Yaakov, which is in the Siddur Oitz HaTfilis, and because I have a Zmiris only taken out of the Oitz HaTfilis, two big volumes, so I brought the Zmiris with me. I'd like to read you a few words from the Perish Minchas Yaakov on Azame B'Shvochin, although it's Azame for Shabbos, but exactly the same concept, the same principle as Psukei de Zimra. And it's so interesting to look at the word and the source of the word, Azame. Now we know Shira the Zimra, song, yeah, beautiful. Shabbos we should sing if we only can. So he says, but it also loshen kariso, cutting off, uktsitso, kemoshu omen pashas bahar, vecharmechol loisizmoir. Don't cut it, don't trim it in the shnasa shmita. Lezame oritzim. All this is to cut off. Why? The shvochim have an incredible koyach, as we said in the beginning of the shiur, to cut off kolam katrigim hamaakvim habruchas. Therefore, even Shabbos Kodesh, which is a time of rachmim av verotzoin, especially at the beginning of the Shabbos, it's necessary to put in that bit of effort to get rid of them, kolshkin in the weekdays. So the same as we say tonight or sing tonight, azame bishvochim, that we will not only sing with these beautiful songs, but azame, we're going to cut off those chevra who are here to snatch all the ashpurs and leave us starving, chas v'sholem. So when we say Psukkah Zimra in the week, it's exactly the same principle, and again it comes from a very classic perish. I think it's probably the one and only Pshat perish on these mirrors of the Arizal. It's very important to look at that one first, and then of course there are many Pshotim Alpinista also. Okay, so that's the concept of Psukkah de Zimra, and that is really the second component. You may wish, therefore, if you're doing notes, to put down now Olam HaYetzira, which is actually Olam HaMalochim, corresponds to Psukkah de Zimra, corresponds to the Ruach of the person, as Nefesh HaChaim brought for us very clearly. What's happening actually is that along with the Tikkunim of those worlds, at least as important is the tikkun in the person. He said, don't forget to bring yourself along with it all. We're very much part of it. We identify with it, and therefore we also have an aliyah as we go through. So this is once again the pyramid idea, the mountain idea, and the idea that Shemena Esra, Amida, better said, stands right at the top, right at the summit. And of course there was a Kaddish, as we said. I'd like to read to you one little piece here on the Kaddish as well. The Kaddish is designed to create the ability to move from level to level. L'chein tiknu Kaddish echod b'chol shinui oilam v'oilam. The Kaddishim, a bit like the Abba Koisus at strategic point in the Seder on Pesach, the Kaddishim are not chas v'sholem haphazard. On the way up and equally so on the way down, each Kaddish represents either a flight of stairs, an elevator, or an escalator, however you want to define it. And that's why, again, in many Bote Midrashim, it's considered important that if there's no chiyuv, the Baal Tefillah himself should say it. To say that the Kaddish should be said, and the Olam, of course, respond. So he said the first one before Hoidu, or for some before Mizmor Shichanukas, is the elevator to take us from level 1, Asiya, to level 2, Yetzira, as we enter Psukkah de Zimra, which formally only starts really with Baruch Sheoma, and that's the Bruch, and that's the gateway, and of course at the other end, Yishtabach. So now, and he says actually right in the next piece over here, Kaddish Basro Einoi Michlala Kaddishim, because the whole process of going up to the peak of the mountain and coming down again is over. It is therefore taka called Kaddish Yosoim. And in many Bote Midrashim where they're makpid that the other Kaddishim should be said, if there is no chiyuv, then the tefillah ends b'yoyimu yeshem echod ishmo yechod. Maybe Tilim or Mishnais or whatever they do, but what I'm saying is, it's so interesting that that last Kaddish is considered by those who into these inyonim as less crucial than the other Kaddishim, whereas in many places it goes the other way around. But if you understand the system here, you can appreciate why this argument is a valid argument. Okay, so we've also discussed the fact that Ketoris has a koyach latzama geifus, and now we move on to the next level. The next level is Olam HaBriya, which is Olam HaKisei, which is Birchas Kriya Shema. We've already noted at this point what happens is the halachas also become stricter. The halachas of not being mafsik, including, of course, the halachas of answering, whether it's omein or whether it's kaddish or kedusha, which I guess people have learned, and they're in the halachas for him, so we needn't labor them now. But they also increase in intensity as from the entry to Olam HaBriya again, Olam HaBriya, as we go up. Now, therefore, the others for him will say, I read you one line. Kedai shashatz yoyma oisam kadeshim kishain chiyuv bebeisakneses, because it's going to help us along our journey, along our ascent and descent. Right, so what comes next? Kriya Shema itself, which of course is definitely a peak, and Kriya Shema is a separate shiur, which I believe we had here once at this session, possibly 2 years ago. Then we talked a bit about the Amida, and the Amida is the idea of standing still because we appreciate we cannot go further. Mentioned to you already the concept of keeping it silent, really, as it's called Tefillah Belachash, which is a declaration, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm as close as I can get, and therefore it makes no sense to use my voice. So whilst it is definitely recommended to daven Sukkah d'Zimra and Birchas Kriya Shema b'Koil, but certainly not the Shemena Esra. Okay, so now we mentioned the idea that in each Heichol, according to the Likutei Torah of Mordechai Chernobyl, we are judged as to how we're going to progress in the Amida. At least we can understand the connection over here and how each piece is a hachona. Similarly, I have from the Baal Shem Tov as well, Yachshev Shebit Filosoi Hoylech Meheichol Leheichol, that we're traveling, we're moving, we're actually not Omdim, we're Hoylechim until the Shemoneh Esrei. So he says, a Machshova Zora, which will tend to hang around and very hard to get rid of, could be a danger that we're not admitted into the next Heichol. So we have to always have available for ourselves ways of disposing of irrelevant Machshova. This is the standard battle of every Eid, every day when we daven, because guess what happens? I think everyone is familiar that when we get up there to daven, then dafka all our jobs for the day and things we forgot and things we need to do tomorrow, some crowded into the mind. But that's actually a simon. Truthfully, it's a simon that we have made an effort to focus for the davening, so he's trying harder to get us out. So all it means is, okay, try that bit harder, and for sure you will win. So basically, this is the seder of the ascent in Shacharis. What about the descent? So if you have had the type of seder that gives these headings on top, Olam Ha'asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus, you will then have for Tachanun, She'eris Ho'atzilus. So there's no Kaddish before Tachanun, but there is a Kaddish after Tachanun. So Shemina Esra and Tachanun in the weekdays go together. But then comes a Kaddish because we're coming down now. And once again, Rabbi Yisai, on the way down, we'd like to think we're laden with brocha. We'd like to think that Reikom Al Tishivenu, our tefillah of the Shemoneh Esrei, wasn't unanswered. On the contrary, we're coming down in a state which is wonderful, except there might be some suspicious eyes, some not ayin toiva, who want to grab dashpo, which is really for us. So therefore, we're going to have certain things to protect us on that descent. In the meantime, so Tachanun belongs to the Amida department. Then comes Ashrei. Now you're going to say to me, but 1 second, Ashrei is in Pesukei d'Zimra and comes again at the other end. So what does that correspond to? I'm confused now, but let's think a second. In the Bria department, which was Birchas Kriya Shema, we had the Kedusha, did we not? And we have the Kedusha de Sidra again in Uvolet Zion. So can you see that these two parts correspond? Although there's no halacha of not interrupting anymore, that was only on the way up, understandably, but these two parts of the tefillah correspond. Birchas Kriya Shema, which includes a Kedusha, a description of the avoid of the Malochim, and then on the way down, again, it is the Kedusha which we say in Uvolet Zion. Now, I realize that what I'm going to be telling you next corresponds much more easily to Nesach Sfard, so forgive me to stay there, and the Chassam Sofer would always insist that Nesach Ashkenaz is just as much Al-Pi Sod as is Nesach Sfard, but since the Arizal works with Nesach Sfard, and since according to that it's going to be a lot easier to fit the puzzle pieces in, I'll do it that way if I may. So now, when we get to Shir Shel Yoim, that corresponds to Pesukei d'Zimra. And why? Because Shir Shel Yoim is a Shir, and of course a capital Tillim. So therefore that is going to correspond to Pesukei d'Zimra. So what happens now? We had a Kaddish after Tachanun, and there should be a Kaddish, yes, after Uvolet Zion, because that took us from Beria down to Yetzirah, and likewise a Kaddish after Shir Shel Yoim. Right? Now, what happens next? Again, if we're davening Nesach Sfard, again, those who daven Ashkenaz, please don't have a sleepless night, but it fits in so much more easily, the parallel over here. So you've had Sheshel Yoim, that is Yetzira, that corresponds to Pesukei Dezimra. Then we say Ein Kelekeinu again, which will include the Ketores. And there's a very good reason, I actually made a photocopy this morning from the Arizal, which tells us very clearly why the Ketores has a place, although we did it already this morning and we're doing it again. Why? So he says it's because we're coming, hopefully, with a lot of Hashpah, we'd like to think, and the world should come down to their place again. Kol oylam v'oylamem yechalik teref. That vatitin teref levesa we sing tonight in Eishes Chayil. Teref is lechem chuki, teref is hashpor, teref is panosa mozen livnei beisoy, who are waiting for it. But hakfirim shoyagim leteref. The vicious animals are also out there to snatch their prey, right? And it looks very vicious when you see pictures of it. Min hashefa shekiblu heim. Because we have got the Ashpo and we want to hold on to it. We're afraid, because these are powerful chevra, and they're determined to snatch it. See, we are creatures of prey, P-R-A-Y, they're creatures of prey, P-R-E-Y. So it's a bit of a battle, a struggle over here. And they want to take a share which is not deserved, it's not intended for them. So we say after that, the Shvach of Oleinu L'Shabech. So we do a few efforts. One is we have Ketores, which we've already said twice, gets rid of the Magefa. Vayam ben Achaim ben Amesim atiotza Magefa. Then we say Oleinu L'Shabech. What is the thinking behind Oleinu L'Shabech? Some people are already out in their car by the time you get to Oleinu, but it's such a sad mistake. Oleinu L'Shabech is one of the richest tefillahs we have. I guess you know the history, Yeshua ben Nun, Yerichoy. So, the tefillah of Oleinu L'Shabech, Sheloi Sam Chalkeinu Kohen, V'goy Oleinu Cholam, Sheloi Yosonu. So what we're doing is we're giving a very heavy knock over the head to all those negative koichas. We're dismissing them as totally empty. So in doing that, in saying the English, it's a final blow against these chevra to make sure we Yidden have davened a wonderful shachris. We've been to the peak of the mountain, to the summit. Hashem gave us his brocha at the Amida. We're coming down loaded that we should be able to keep it and they shouldn't grab it. So that's the idea of Oleinu L'Shabech. So now you can see we've reached ground level anyway. At this point, there is a Kaddish of there's a Yosem in Shulu, which is to say a Kaddish, but otherwise it's not an elevator in that sense anymore. We've come down to Asiya. When did we get down to Asiya? Basically, we got there with the Ketores. So there is a Kaddish after Ketores, yes, but after Oleinu, there wouldn't be the same need for it. So now I look at my watch, it's getting on for 11:15. What we haven't done yet is to have a few words about Mincha and a few words about Ma'ariv. Is there anything anyone would like to comment or ask about the Shachris? Did I do it too quickly? Is it clear? Anybody want to add anything to their notes? Remember again on the way down, Tachnun is still She'eris Huatzilis. It's called the remainder of the highest level. Then comes Ashrei Volitzin, corresponding to Birchas Kriyashma, therefore is Bria. Then comes She'er Shel Yoim, which is Yitzira, corresponding to Pesukei Dezimra. Then comes again Ketores, of course this is all according to Sfarad, which would correspond to Asiya. Once you've had that last Kaddish, basically you're on the ground level again. Sure.
You said that the Kaddish is the transition from place to place.
Yes.
But Birkas Kriyashma, which is Bria, and then going to...
Thank you so much. I should have mentioned that. So at this point, it is so high, there's no need for a Kaddish, and the transition is almost automatic, and thanks for mentioning it. Therefore, there is no Kaddish and no need for a Kaddish at that point as you go from Tilis L'Kel Elyon to the Shmoneh Esrei itself. There will be a parallel in Mincha Ma'ariv, but not in Shachris. Thanks for bringing this up. And therefore, this foreign comment that here we do not need a Kaddish. It's a little bit like the shitta of those I mentioned before who say you don't have a brocha and tefillin shel rosh because we can't do a tikkun so high. It's a little bit, not mamash, but a little bit like that. Yes, there is no Kaddish conspicuous by its absence. On the contrary, we are so machmir on smichas kulit tefillin chas v'shom, no interruption of any sort at that point, and we have to glide straight from Tilis HaKelion into the Shemayna Esther, just Hashem's foresight. Tiftuch, you probably learned the Gemara that has to be justified, how that gets in there, and that's Gula Richter, and therefore it really is part of the bridge between the two. But yes, quite right, there is no Kaddish at that stage. Yeah, correct. Shkoyach. So now, let's look at Mincha. So Mincha is Shas HaDeh. The morning... Yeah, sorry. Oh, sorry. There is the idea of nine kadeshim, I think, throughout the day. Throughout the day. That means the most essential ones. After the Shia, I'd like to go through them together, yeah? I don't really want to hurry, I've got loads of time. It's a long Friday already. It's not one of these short Erech Shabbos Chanukah Fridays. So we can have a look afterwards. But I believe those who talk in terms of nine mean for the whole day, not just for Shachris, I believe so. Yeah. Now, what we want to talk in terms of is Mincha. So it works like this. Avraham tikkun tefillas Shachris, Yitzchak tikkun tefillas Mincha, and Yaakov tikkun tefillas Arvis. The Sifrei Kodesh say the following. Why wasn't it Vayerev Vayivoyke? Avraham maybe Maariv, Yitzchak Shachris, and Yaakov Mincha. So the answer is very simple. I think Zohar Kodesh gives the answer that each one introduced a tefillah, the part of the day that corresponds to his middah. What's the middah of Avraham? Chesed Lavraham. So the morning, when it gets lighter, and we hope a drop warmer, so that is a zman of Chesed V'Rachamim, so that is the time for tefillah Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak, after all, V'yetzu Yitzchak L'suach Basode Lifnois Orev, because his middah is middah Sadin, and if you're familiar with the Zohar Kodesh printed in the Siddur and the Zmiris for Shalosh Sudas, he'll tell you very clearly that Mincha is Shas Sadin. And for this I want to tell you a very beautiful piece from the Seder Hayoim, the Moshe Ben Mocha, I believe was a contemporary of the Arizal. It's not a difficult Sefer, but a very special Sefer, and he explains there that Mincha actually has special segulas, and we'll see it in a moment for quoting the Gemara. So what we have as follows. We cannot do the tikkunim that we can achieve at Shacharis when everything is much more in our favor. We have to say a certain amount of shvach, because the Gemara gives us yesoid. Lo'olim misad odom shvuch shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ach kach yispalo. So therefore we have Ashrei, because Ashrei, let's face it, is the centerpiece of Psukei Dezimra always. We do say korbonos those who are noig that way, because the Tomid shel Bein Arbaim. So we say that, and Ketoros as well, for those who are noig. But what I want to share with you is this. The Gemara in Brochus says, La'olim yizodim mitfilas ha-mincha, because Eliyahu HaNovi was dafka answered, as you all know, at mincha time. So the Tzedah Yom says this. Why did he want to wait for that time, dafka, and after it's Shah Sadin? Maybe that's a time to be avoided. The day is coming to a close. It's getting darker, it's getting colder, there's less ashbor, less chesed in the air. Answer is because since Midas Hadin is Shoilet, and if we are able, Sheyuchal Lishloit, Sheyisgabru Horachmim Aladin is Koichoi Godel. If we can make the breakthrough then at Mincha, and we can daven well, and Eliyahu HaNovi was the first one to recognize this, then we are achieving even more than at Shacharis. And that's why, Rabbis, if you think about it, especially in the winter days, and many of us work, and so the Mincha is always the one that gets a little bit either delayed or rushed or pushed aside. It's because Mincha actually is extra mesugel. And therefore the Rotzen Hashem is always that we should bring as much chesed and as little din. So if we try a bit harder at Mincha, we're going to accomplish much more than davening a nice shacharis. So that's why Yanovi, realizing this, as the Seder Yom, I never saw this pshat anywhere else, Yanovi, that's why he dafka waited for that time, realizing he obviously had the koyach to be mamtik the Midas Adin, but we all have it on our own level, in our own way. So that is generally the nature of Tefillas HaMincha. Then Olein L'Shabeach, as the Arizal says, well, many say Tachlin, others don't, but Olein L'Shabeach, because it should not be just for the one tefillah, it should actually be for all three. If you know the history of Olein L'Shabeach, it started life in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And then it was increased and put in the daily tefillah. And if we think about it, it mamish expresses the yesod ha-yesoidus of number one, our emunah, and number two, our hope for Alkein Nekavah. So it is really a crucial tefillah. What a shame if it's neglected, because it's at the end of the davening. So that's basically the structure of Shacharis and a bit about Mincha. What's the story with Maariv? Now, we wouldn't think of asking, why is there no Krishma at Mincha, Krishma, yes, at Maariv? Why no Ashrei at Maariv, and there is at Mincha? So here it is. Maariv, it's so interesting. Listen to this. If you look in the Siddur, the Shem Havai, the Tzirufim for each month, you'll find that the one for Tammuz is worse than the one for Av. Because as one is approaching, you know, the Chasrim shouldn't need any surgery, anybody here. But one is more anxious beforehand than when it actually happens. When you're in it, it's a different feeling already. So this is the Teva, and so it is with Mincha as we're approaching the end of the day. Tammuz, as we're approaching the difficult time of the year, it's more crucial than when we're actually there. And so therefore, Maariv, although it's night time, you would think this is the worst of all. No, no, no. It's not the intensity of Midas Adin anymore, as is Mincha. And it's interesting, again, Avrom is Chesed at Tzad Yamin. Yitzchak is Gevura Tzad Smol. Yaakov is the Bria Chaticho in the connecting link. And therefore, Yaakov is Maariv. There's another reason, simpler as well. Give a simple reason. Yaakov is the symbol of Golos. And Maariv, night, is the symbol of Golos. We've got this long Golos, which still hasn't ended yet, and we can't wait for the end of it. And so that's Yaakov's tefillah, which therefore for us is so important now. It's no longer a shush for us. We've all taken it upon ourselves as chayva. But in that, it's no longer that level of Shah Sadin. We do have a Bechas Kriya Shema. We do have a second Kabbalah Sar Malchus Shemaim. And we have it because that and its tikkunim is already appropriate, because as said, the night time is not as critical as is the end of the day. So yes, we have in Maariv a little bit of a resemblance to Shacharis, and not so much any at all at Mincha, and that would be the reason why. And of course we conclude again with a Tfilas Amida and Oleinu Lishabech, which is standard, which as you know from the Gemara that you've just been doing, that's called Tfilah. That's the essence of Tfilah. But it's not Shayach to go straight for it. Unfortunately, I don't know whether people feel this way, but when one comes late for Mincha, people go straight to the Shemana Esra, one has to appreciate how difficult this really is, spiritually speaking. Because the Shemana Esra requires so much achonot shacharis. And Mincha, because it's a difficult moment, so at least it would require Ashrei, and Halavai, the Korban HaTomid, and Pasha Sakatoiris. But just to jump in straight, I realize it's Philip Tzibben, I realize short of time, there is, it's a working day. But still, if we appreciate what Tfilas Mincha is, then we would understand that it's Kedai, again, to devote the few extra moments so that we should be able to daven all that Mincha really entails, and then think in terms of the Seder Yoim, that we could accomplish more at Mincha than any other tefillah if we really give it its dues. Now, once again, we have a few minutes remaining. Is there anyone who'd like to raise any connected points? If I don't know, I'll be honest, Blinei Deim Yitz Hashem, and if I am able to answer, I'll try my best to answer. Yes?
Before?
Yeah. That Kaddish. I haven't looked into it, so there I told you, I promise to be honest, I can't give an explanation of hand on that, but you're quite right, it's a point that deserves looking into, and somebody somewhere will surely talk about it. I haven't got the answer available for you, but it's true. You know, it's interesting, I often daven at Veen, the shul, on 306, and they, although they're proper Ashkenaz, but they do say a few psukim and a Kaddish. Although the standard Ashkenaz practice, I believe, just start for Urachum, Baruchu, and only the Kaddish before, after Shemin Esra, and then after Oleinu, as said. So, yeah.
Is that why by Minhag Chabad they add their Kaddishim?
Well, they probably, I guess what they do is based very largely on the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya, and his Siddur. It's interesting. Is there anybody who doesn't say Vishamru tonight? Because they don't either. Because they're choishish for a hefsik ben gula litfila there.
The Grod doesn't say Grod.
Sorry?
The Grod doesn't say Grod.
Right, and nor does the Rav. Very interesting. So, but them in Hogim are definitely very built. In other words, it's not just a free-for-all by any stretch of the imagination. They've got very, very clear mesoira from their earliest rebbeim, and so I believe they do add a capital maybe and a further Kaddish. Again, you'd have to ask them or look up some of their Sforim, but they'll definitely be a cheshbon to it.
And if you go to Blue Square,
yeah,
they have Oleinu. They also, there's a different type of Nusach that they have.
Oleinu?
No, there's a different type of Nusach that they have in Davin also. It's not the same.
I've done there a few times, but I can't remember much difference, maybe some very minor ones. Again, Rabbi, so minhogim and niceties in Nusach will vary a lot. As soon as we realize the structure, the basic structure, you discover that even the Sfaradim, yeah, they add a piece here, add a pasuk there, add something, but it's basically the same thing. Basically the same thing. The Arizal does say that at Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, there were 12 shvilin in the Yam, and the shvilin represent the 12 shvotim, and everyone has his own shar in tefillah. And it's very interesting, I heard from my Rebbe in London, Zagatali Bruch, he said that the Chazal, I think it's a Mechilta, at the Yamsuf Kulan Royen Zeh Zeh, what does it mean? They could see each other because the water like transparent. He said, Royen is like the Loshen in Chazal, Roya Ani Estivrei Admoin. It means you look with approval at the others. It's very important for us, and I'm sure it's not so far from what people come to this kind of Yom Limud, to appreciate that others who do it a bit differently, but they're Erlich Eden, they have their Mesoira, it's only in detail that they're different, and we look at them favorably. Not that this is right and this is wrong, right? So yeah, I guess the Chabad will have various minhogim, but Yisodosim Barei Kodesh, and other Chassidim possibly also. And amongst Bnei Ashkenaz, I'm sure there are some differences as well. As mentioned, I know that in Wien, where it's very near us, and a wonderful Rov there, Baruch Hashem, so we do daven there from time to time, and there are certain minhogim which are different. There are some. Yeah.
Understanding the Kodeshim as elevators, why are they usually assigned for the Sinim? And why is the one by at the end of Balasir and by Yishtaba a Kaddish for the Shliach Tzibur?
Okay, so Tiskabel obviously is for the Shliach Tzibur to say. So I think the idea is simply that although there are some who believe that the Yosem should only say the Kaddish after Aleinu, that's not generally practiced. And since it doesn't matter who says the Kaddish, as long as it's done and it has the effect of being the elevator, it's not going to be insisted upon that the Baal Tefillah Dafka says it. So if somebody else says it, then that's fine. I'll tell you what is Kedai to learn the Oruch HaShulchan about Kaddish. He has insights explaining Kaddish, leaving out, he knew the small print as well, very well, the Oruch HaShulchan, but he explains Kaddish, and he does actually say, just to share it with you, Rabbi Issa, because Aleichem not so long ago, I was in Ovel, and I went through the Oruch HaShulchan, and he says, if one doesn't say with Kavona, you know what? Better to leave it. No point rushing. Because it's such a heiliger tefillah, and one really has to understand what one is saying. So, again, it can be a yosem who says it, as long as they don't just swallow it. It's so sad when people rush through it, and how much time do they gain? And what are they losing? And the whole tzibur loses out. So, Kaddish, you can see now, besides the Tosfos, the beginning of Brochus, and from Sifrei Kodesh, is an incredible tefillah. Every Omein Yishmer Rabban, you know what Omein Yishmer Rabban? You want to hear a nice story, Rabbi Yisrael, to conclude our Shia? I'll tell you a lovely story. I put a disclaimer on the story because, although it's a great story, it's not something we can afford to copy, but it still is a powerful story. I don't know how long ago this was, and I heard it in London. There was a Yid who, for a long time, wasn't feeling well. And you know, some people are scared to go to the doctor. Some people, we have a doctor sitting here, so you'd advise, as soon as something's wrong, we better come and see you, right? But there's some, put it off. It's a mentality, I don't agree with it, but it's a mentality. So he left it to the last moment. He felt, I have to go to the doctor now, otherwise I could be mamash matzav mesukan. So he goes along, the doctor examines him and says, listen, my friend, I'm calling a specialist now, and I'm ordering a taxi for you now. This is something beyond me. It's serious. It's not a joke, and I want it to be taken care of properly, so I'm sending you to a specialist. He goes to the specialist. The specialist examines him and says, listen here, this is something which needs the real expert, the ultimate expert. I don't want to make a decision on this. It's not funny. And he, in turn, called another specialist, arranged an immediate appointment, and he went to the third doctor now, and the doctor wanted to send him right away to hospital. No delays, nothing, no time to go home and change or whatever it is. You've got to go to hospital now. Kulei hai v'ulai, maybe they can help you. And this man turns around and says, no, I'm not going. Listen, he says, that's your decision, but that's not a wise decision. And v'chai bohem, and I'm telling you, you need to go to hospital, and hopefully, with Hashem's help, if you go to hospital, they can give you the appropriate treatment, or maybe even surgery, and maybe you're on your feet again. But this way, if you just neglect it, it's a death sentence. And this man insisted. Now, I'm not saying he was right, but that's what he did. And what did he do? With his last bit of strength, he went to shul, you know, some Batei Midrashim, you get one minyan after the other, and he was very makbid to answer every Kaddish, even on days when mamash he had no koyach left. B'chol koychoy, if you learnt it, you might see there's different pshotim, what it means. Does it mean to shout it out like they do up the road in Stalin? Or does it mean, no, insult chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom, but that's their mahalach. Or some places they do it much more quietly, but the idea is that it's bifnim, it's in turn. B'kitzer, he did this even at times where you hardly get himself to the shul. Then he's suddenly feeling better, Baruch Hashem. And it was 3 months later, and he goes back to this last specialist, and he presents himself. He says, tell me, do you remember me? This chayla that was, says, he says, no. Well, I was here 3 months ago, and you said to me, I give you maximum 3 months. Please check me out. And he's fine. So the specialist said, tell me, what's the secret? Who did you go to? This is my field. I should know. There is nobody else who could take care of you. So he said, well, what I did was, I had a different specialist, the Chazal. And if one has that level of emunah in it, maybe, I don't know. L'chayre, one has to go to the doctor. But he did it. And it worked for him, because he really had 100% to me, Mr. Gemunah, in it. And he was fine, and he was cured, so he laughed at the doctors. But again, Dr. Resnick, you wouldn't recommend anybody to copy this.
Not usual.
Not usual, right. Okay, anyway, Mazal Alza and Gazintra boys, have a great Shabbos, and blame me if your davening takes longer as from now. Sorry that I didn't have an answer, but we have to be honest.
That's fine. I have a very fundamental question. We're saying we're making tikkun.
One second, sir, forgive me. Where's Aaron David? Yes, so we'll have a look.